In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen. Well, after I preached at the 8 a.m. service, Reverend Rachel said, when at the 10 a.m. service, you preach from the aisle, and with Jesus' command to take up your mat and walk, ringing in my ears, how could I refuse such an invitation? Yes, Reverend Rachel, I want to be made well. Not only that, but the story in Acts is all about following the impulses of the Spirit wherever it may lead us. And we've been studying Acts this Easter season, knowing that the Spirit is wild, that we don't see it. We only see the effects of the Spirit in our midst. We know that it leads us in unexpected places, and we've been studying it not as the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Spirit. That in hearing these stories of the early church, people who hadn't experienced the resurrection, but people who had experienced resurrection in their own life are experiencing the Spirit and understanding it and how it came to form their life and shape their life. And in hearing their stories, the Scripture invites us to hear our own stories, to meditate and reflect on how the Spirit is moving in our life and in our world, and then to share that with other people. This is something that we've been doing here at St. Cross just this week. Our youth pilgrims who are preparing to go on their pilgrimage their summer, they met with their prayer partners. And over dinner, they talked one-on-one with senior members of the church, people who maybe have on their own pilgrimage experience, and they were invited to share how they have experienced moments of that Holy Spirit guiding us and comforting us. And the youth pilgrimage team was then invited to share how they feel, how they are eager, how they are anticipating the Spirit might move them on their journey. And this evening of sharing about the stories of the Spirit gave each of us inspiration and hope. That's the blessing that comes when you share stories about God's love working in your life, transforming you at your very core. So I want to look at the story that we read from Acts and see how the early Christians first heard and understood the Spirit working among them, naming different attributes of the Spirit, different ways that it works. And then also sharing from my time that I've been on a journey with all of you that these blessings have manifested in our community, and I've seen the Spirit at work in our lives as we have journeyed together. The first thing that we notice in this story is that no one is alone. Lydia has her household. Paul has his companions. The Spirit works in community. That's where Spirit is found. So I want you to name people in your community right now, in your mind. Think about people that you are close to and hold them in your heart with a prayer of gratitude, knowing that the Spirit is at work in your relationship. And secondly, the story starts with Paul going to having this vision. But the reason why this vision comes to Paul at this time is because they had these grand plans to bring the gospel over into Asia. This is in verse 8, right before we started reading today. We're going to go bring the gospel to the corners of the earth. And the Spirit says no and stopped their passageway. And they're there overnight, not knowing what happened to this Spirit-driven message. Sometimes the Spirit works in our life by saying no, by canceling our plans, by denying our ambitions. The Spirit has other plans. Have you ever felt that? Maybe you had hopes for one thing, life unfolded a different way, and you were frustrated, but in the looking back, you see the Spirit at work. The Spirit comes in the middle of the night with this vision, and in the vision, we have the man from Macedonia. How do you think Paul knew that this was a man from Macedonia? Do you have a name tag? Hello, my name is Philippi. They go around the circle. How long have you been from Macedonia, and since when? No. There's artifacts. There's the dialect of his voice and his plea, the clothes that he's wearing, the context that where he's sitting, that Paul knows this. The Spirit is grounded in our reality. The real world things are how the Spirit works and sends its message. That's how Paul goes to Macedonia. I know that St. Cross has done many programs with big visions, going to Belize, going, starting up Laundry Love, having Women's Day. People come to the clergy and say, I have this big vision, and they follow it through. How do we make it happen? That's the Spirit at work. But the Spirit at work is also when the flower ladies come and say, it was just on my heart today to bring flowers to so-and-so. And then they do that, following that nudge of the Spirit. And then a phone call comes later to the church office. I don't know why I got flowers, but I sure needed it. I was lost without my community, and I felt that love of St. Cross. That's happened time and time again. It's almost a weekly occurrence of the Spirit at work in our midst. When Paul arrives to the city in Macedonia, does he find the man from Macedonia? Quick Bible trivia. We're in chapter 16. What chapter does Paul meet the man from Macedonia? Never happens. It never happens. Paul's motivated by this grand mission, and who does he find? The Spirit says, I know to get you to where you need to be, I got to present you this option, but now I'm redirecting you over here. You came seeking this man from Macedonia, now you get Lydia, an immigrant from the very country you just left, who needs your help. The Spirit works in these ways too, causing us to pivot, giving us one thing and then leading us in another way. How many times has that happened to us? I've heard those stories. You say, I'm showing up to Laundry Love or to these other outreach ministries because you want to do some good. And then what you find out is another volunteer becomes your best friend for life. You show up to EFM because you want to learn more about the Bible. And you find a community that gets you through some of the greatest struggles you've had in that 4 years. The Spirit makes us pivot. I know that's a dirty word from COVID times, but the Spirit works in that way. Lydia is already there leading a community of believers in prayer down by the river. Paul goes to the heart of the city, and it says he's there for a few days. If you know something about Paul, you know that when he shows up at a city, stuff happens. You know, he gets thrown in jail, there's demon-possessed people following him around, there's earthquakes, the magistrates come, there's this whole thing about empire, but nothing's going on here for these first 3 days. Sometimes the Spirit tells us to wait. And it's not until Paul says, okay, I'm going to leave the city and go down to the river to pray, that the Spirit reveals the next thing to do. Have you ever had that experience? You're all geared up to go do something, and you find out what you really need to do is go sit and spend some time in prayer. I've seen this at St. Cross a lot of times, but my favorite one is premarital counseling. Some of you may remember leading up to that wedding. I do too. There's a lot of logistics to plan, a lot of things to do to get taken care of. And you are spending every moment trying to figure out setting up this life together and navigating your two families, becoming one. And the last thing you want to go do is sit in Reverend Josh's office for an hour talking about God. Not on anybody's priority list. But time and time again, couples have done that and come back and said, that was a gift. That moment of respite where we didn't have to plan. We just got to sit together and talk about things that really matter. And it drew them closer, not just to God, but to each other, so that when they walked down this aisle for their wedding, they found that they were walking towards each other and towards that love that they could share with one another in a way that was entirely different and more real than any kind of venue touring or pasta tasting that they might have otherwise been doing during that hour. The Spirit calls us to times of silent reflection and prayer. Lydia is a key figure here, and I want to offer two things about Lydia. First, she has a household. Don't think of household as a man and wife and two kids, a cat, a dog, and two Detroit gas guzzlers in the driveway, okay? That's not what household means. A better translation might be economy. Lydia deals in purple cloth. She has this community of spiritual seekers down by the river. Her household is artisans and crafters, traders and immigrants, teachers and spiritual seekers, business people. All of these people are in her orbit. All of these people is what make up her household. And when she receives the love of God in her life, that whole community is transformed. It's because Lydia is this person that has hospitality as a gift. She invites all these people and creates community. And when she experiences the love of God through her, everyone else does. Everything is washed in it. I've seen this happen time and again through so many different projects. We don't want to get into it. But so many times, I'll show up at an outreach event and start talking to volunteers. I love this. And they're like, I love volunteering here, but I don't go to this church. And I laugh like, I know. But what I love about it is they say, I don't go to this church, but they are part of that love of this church. That's why they show up to volunteer. They want to be a part of that story. They want to see that spirit at work in their lives because they see it in your lives. The other thing about Lydia is that she prevails upon Paul. Lydia prevails upon Paul. Come on, people, we know Paul. Is Paul prevailed upon or is Paul the prevailer? He is the prevailer. So how much is Lydia's strength? Her offering of hospitality is that radical hospitality that we see throughout St. Cross in so many different ways. Hospitality that's not just offering a meal and a handshake, but offering new life, new love, new energy for life. At the end of Paul's visit to Lydia's town, he has been imprisoned and all those things have unfolded. And Lydia welcomes him back and offers him shelter and security. And some people speculate that she used her influence in the town to arrange for Paul's release from prison. Because she knows that he's a Roman citizen, that he was imprisoned unjustly. Hospitality is not just about a warm meal. Hospitality is about advocacy. Hospitality is about seeking justice. Just ask members of our refugee ministry what that means. It's not just about the language lessons. It's not just about the fresh linens that we bring. It's about starting a new life of freedom. That's hospitality. That's how we see the Spirit at work in Acts. That's how we've seen it here at St. Cross. So I ask you, how have you seen the Spirit at work in your life? What people, what places in your world do you feel the Spirit's presence? What is the Spirit calling you to do? Is the Spirit calling you to a place of prayer, a place of action, a place of community? I invite you to reflect on how the Spirit might be moving in your life. And then I invite you to share that story. I'm not asking you to share the story down at Fiesta. We still need volunteers at the booth. I'm not asking you to go down to the Pier Plaza and get on a bullhorn. I'm asking you to share it with a friend, share it at coffee hour, share it at Bible study, share it on a walk, write a thank you note to somebody. I felt the Spirit through what you did for me. Tell this story. Sharing is required because the work of the Spirit is not done in isolation. It's done in community. No one is alone. You are not alone. The Spirit is working in you, drawing you to other people who need the blessing of your story. We need the blessing of how God has poured love into your heart, that you can pour it into others. The Spirit is not just a part of the early church's story, it's your story, your life, your decisions, your healing, your community. So pay attention. The Spirit is closer than you think. God doesn't love from a distance. God's love is up close and personal. The Spirit is working intimately in your life so that you may share those stories with others so that they can see the Spirit working intimately in their lives. Amen.